If you're here for the first time, we welcome you, not just to the temple, but we welcome you into the presence of the Lord, into the presence of the Lord, where every one of us should be aware here this morning that he's here, that he's here. I'm real excited to have all of you guys here this morning. How many sometimes just need a, in Jesus, amen. Just need to breathe sometimes, the presence of the Lord. And he starts to speak. He starts to quicken. He starts to confirm. He starts to realign the call upon our lives. Amen. I want to speak here this morning. We've been speaking about the presence of the Lord. It's almost every time, whatever the topic is, he becomes that. Amen. He's the great I am. He can become anything you need him to be here this day. Well, I want to speak on the presence of the Lord here this morning. Been for a couple of months now speaking on God's presence, on what it's able to do in the right hands and what God's presence is able to do in the wrong hands. Amen. So in that, the title of this morning's message is God's Presence Speaks. God's presence speaks. Amen. As we go to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2 for the opening scripture. Amen. Remember, I've been preaching these last weeks that the Ark of God was taken on the battlefield, amen? The Ark of God, remember, representing the presence of God. The Ark of God representing the presence of God. A few weeks ago, we broke down the three things that were in the Ark, amen, and the importance of those three things that were in the Ark unto our lives that need to be present within our lives, amen? So there was a battle taking place, and the Ark of the Lord was captured, which is the presence of the Lord. And the work of the enemy right now is to capture the presence of the Lord from your life. See, sometimes we can be in church outside of the presence of God. See, the presence of God represents him speaking to you, leading to you, where something is presented before you, a temptation, and you look at it, because in the old days, you would have done it. But you look at it and say, I can't do that. See, that's what the presence of the Lord does. It brings a conviction to make the right decisions. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord allows you to know, though you're walking by yourself and nobody's looking, the presence of the Lord allows you to know that the Lord's walking right beside you. And you want to do right when the Lord's walking right beside you. We can't be that same man, that same woman, when the presence of the Lord is with us. It's as if there's sometimes some things you do that you shouldn't be doing, but you can be with me that day at the same place and not even look that way or not even think that way because pastor's with you. The presence of the Lord. I can only be at one place at one time. The presence of the Lord can be in 100 places at one time. So the presence of the Lord is very much needed within our lives in order for us to make the right moves. In order for the Lord to speak to us, his presence needs to be present. In order for us to have the instructions, the presence of the Lord is needed. So here we pick up, the ark was captured, it got back into the hands of God, amen, and to the Israelites, amen. So as we pick up this morning, amen, I just wanted to give you a little before we dive into the word of the Lord here this day. The Bible says that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim for a long time. It's back with Israel. The presence, which is the ark of the Lord, is back with the people of God. And the Bible says, for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for your presence here this day that is already speaking. And I pray that you open hearts and minds of your people, Lord Father God, that they would allow your word to be that light before their feet, that lamp, Lord Father God, that enlightens their path, Lord Father God, and where to go and what you've called them to do, Lord. Use your word here this day. Use your presence here this day. Use me this day, Lord Father God. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. So here the good news is that the ark of the Lord was back with the people of the Lord. That's good news. The Bible says that he had been there for a long time. 20 years in all. I've been saved a little over 20 years, and I'm so grateful that the presence of the Lord has remained with me. 20 plus years and counting. He has been faithful to my life. And the Bible says here that the ark of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, had been with Israel for a long time. Amen? 20 years in all. But in the mentality of Israel, they were believing, feeling that the Lord had abandoned them. It's like scripture saying one thing, that the presence of the Lord had been with them for a long time, 20 years in all. But in their thinking, the Bible says that they were mourning because it seemed as if the Lord had abandoned them. I open up with two questions here this morning. Have you ever known somebody that's been saved for 20 years or more, and they're in a rough period in their life, a rough time? Have you ever heard them say, man, it's as if the Lord has left me. It's as if the Lord has abandoned me. I don't even know if God is with me anymore. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Let's make it personal now here this morning. Second question. Have you and I ever been in a season, a tough season, things not going the right way? You're doing things that are right or you're doing things that are not right. And you reach a conclusion. Well, I know that sister ain't with me. I know that brother. I don't know about pastor, but you even get to a place in your thinking to believe that God has abandoned you when you need him the most. I mean, I'm able to be there for my children in their worst days. And I'm a man that falls short on a daily basis. But sometimes the storm, the temptation of the enemy, the test of the Lord, the season that we might be in, can take our thinking all the way to the place that God is not with us. When his word says that he would never leave us nor forsake us, when his word says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, nothing's working, and we reach a conclusion that God is no longer with us. Because if he was, all these things wouldn't still be taking place. Verse 2 says that the Lord remained. there with Israel for over 20 years. The ark remained. That word remained is a very important word in the text here this morning. For 20 years he was with them. But for 20 years the people were thinking that he had abandoned them. Remember, the ark of the Lord represents the presence of the Lord. But I want to look at another three-letter word. Go to the middle, and it says, during that time, all Israel. It wasn't just a few people in Israel that felt that the Lord had abandoned them. It wasn't just a few people in the church. But the Bible says that all of Israel were thinking the same thing. They were in one accord, but thinking the wrong thing in one accord. See, being in one accord not always is a good thing. The Bible says during that time, all Israel. There's a death time in each and every one of our lives. We need to know that it comes with being a Christian in that time. That we're going to face hard times. But we need to get into our mentality, into our thinking, into our hearts and spirit. That in those hard times, that we serve a good father, a faithful father. That the ark remains, that remains. We need to know that here this morning. You cannot allow your thinking to get to a conclusion, to a place that God is no longer with you. So, we need to find out here this day, what hinders a man's thinking? What hinders a woman's thinking? What hinders a youth's thinking in a season that can allow them to reach a conclusion that God is not with you? What blocks, what hinders the presence of God in one's life? We got to figure that out here this morning. Because the Bible says that God remained, that God was with them. That the ark of God, the presence of God, was in position. But in the thinking of all of Israel, they were on the same page that God had abandoned them. So here we're going to look into what hinders them from not being able to sense the presence of God. What hinders one to reach a conclusion that God is not with you? Because it happens to everybody. But just because it happens to everybody, don't make it a truth. And just because all of Israel was thinking like this, does not make it a truth that God was not with them. In verse 3, the Bible reads, the prophet Samuel came to him and he's seeing that all of them were thinking negative. All of them were thinking that God was not with them. When the prophet Samuel knew that God was there, the ark of God, the presence of God was with them. How many know this morning through the praise and worship that the presence of the Lord fell upon each and every one of our lives, whether you sensed it or not? The presence of the Lord is present here this day. He's present. Samuel knew where they were missing it. It was simple. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, all the people needed to hear it, amen? Because all of them were on the same page. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, if you want to return to the Lord. See, the people, all of Israel, were feeling that the Lord had abandoned them, that he had left them. But the truth was, God remained, and the presence of the Lord was with them for 20 years. The truth was, it was them that left God. So Samuel says, if you want to return to the Lord, how many need to return to the Lord here this morning? See, returning to the Lord is a good thing. That's returning to his presence. But returning to the Lord calls for a man or a woman to humble themselves. To humble themselves. I'm acquainted with the presence of God. I had it this morning in my office. So I love it when I can have it in my house and in the church. But sometimes we can have it in the church, but not in our houses. Is the presence of God only found when you come to church? Or can it be found at your address? And I pray here this day that we make those adjustments so that we can carry the presence of the Lord that's here this day. Even if you weren't sensing him on the way to church, that you carry him back to your house so that he could be there every day of the week. Because we need more than an hour of God's presence a week. The truth is, we need his presence every moment of every day within our lives. So what was taking place back then is the same thing that is taking place right now within each and every one of our lives. There's an adversary, there's an enemy. And remember, his job is to capture the presence of the Lord from your life. Whether he uses drugs, whether he uses the opposite sex, whether he uses money, whether he uses your job site. He just don't use drugs to remove you from the presence of the Lord. See, God didn't go nowhere. It was the people's thinking that was traveling everywhere. So far away that they all came to a conclusion that God was not with them. We cannot stay on that page thinking that God is... The Bible says that it seemed as if God was not with them. See, that tells me that they were in their feelings, using their mentality, their thinking. The word seem means it wasn't really taking place. It just felt like that. It just looked like that. But the truth here this morning, the Lord is with us. And it don't just seem like it. He is with us. So whenever the Lord is present, he speaks. If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, tells me that their hearts were divided. Tells me their hearts weren't being surrendered wholeheartedly unto the Lord. See, too many think that they could do church and do the world and still have the presence of the Lord. It don't work like that. Remember, he's a holy God, I said earlier. He's a holy God. So Samuel starts breaking it off and what's going wrong, and it was a heart issue. It wasn't a pastor's issue. It's not really a money issue, a job issue, the opposite sex issue. It's a heart issue because the Bible says out of the heart, all of life comes from the heart. Their hearts were divided. Their hearts were not right. And when a man or a woman's heart is not right with the Lord, it's very hard to sense the presence of the Lord that says, he is with you. Good stuff this morning. If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, this is what you got to do. If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts. It goes on to say, get rid of your foreign little g gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts. Remember, the hearts were divided. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey Him alone. Remember that. And obey Him alone. Then He will rescue you from the Philistines, representing the enemy that comes to capture the presence of the Lord. He'll leave you clean and sober. He'll leave you and say, man, I got 10 years without doing drugs. I got 15 years. But man, his job is to take the presence of the Lord. You can be clean and sober outside of the presence of the Lord. Not being able to sense the presence of the Lord is a heart issue. If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, tells me their hearts were divided. Verse 3 says, to obey Him alone. Then, there's a condition, then He will rescue you from the Philistines. Scripture says to obey Him alone. I shared on Friday night that we can obey the Lord, but on the same time, in the same time, we can also obey the things of the world. We can obey what the enemy wants us to do. We can do both at the same time. That's why the Bible says, reading between the lines, the second line to the end, or third line, says, turn your hearts to the Lord and obey Him alone. So not all the time obedience is a positive word. Because we can be obedient to the will of the enemy, to things taking place in the world. You're allowing them in your heart. And Scripture says to obey Him alone. There was an obedience taking place within the hearts of Israel, but it was a divided obedience. This is the words the Lord has given me for the church today. They were coming to church, but after leaving church, Monday, Tuesday, they were doing things of the world. So we created a divided heart within the people of God. The Bible says that you can't serve two masters. You're going to serve one or the other. And I believe the problem of the church of today is that too many men and women are obeying both masters, thinking they can walk away with the blessings of God, thinking they can walk away with the presence of God. This is a message that don't grow a church in number, but allows a man to be touched, a woman to be touched, if they're willing and ready to make that change here this morning. And I want to preach the gospel here this morning. I don't want to speak a prosperity message that God loves you so much. Don't worry about what you're doing. It's going to be okay. Everything's okay. All good in the hood. That's false. And I ain't here to be a false prophet here this day. But God is giving me a word for each and every one of us. We're capable of being obedient to the things of God this morning. Dressing up, looking good, smelling good. But is our obedience carrying on to the things of the world? The Bible, through Scripture, Samuel was able to see between the cracks and say, we need to obey the Lord and obey Him alone. See, the Bible says that we serve a jealous God. When we become jealous, it's like a negative word. Proverbs says that jealousy is worse than murder. How many have ever been jealous before? How many are jealous right now about something? Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey Him alone. Then He will rescue you from the Philistines. To two types of obedience. One is righteous and the other one is unrighteous. Represents two types of people. God loves us. Yes, he does. Unconditionally. But he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And his jealousy is not like our jealousy. His jealousy is that he knows he has all to offer you. All sufficient. He has everything you need. He is the great I am this morning. And the reason he's a jealous God is that he's not only a jealous God, but he's a perfect God, a good God. And why he's a jealous God is that he knows when you're being obedient to the things of the world, he ain't got all your heart. It's like you're two-timing him. That's almost worse than it now, like it is worse than cheating on your spouse. Because our spouses ain't perfect, but God is perfect. And the reason it angers the Lord is that he has everything to hook us up with, to rescue us from the enemy. And the reason he's a jealous God is that he knows, now if he knew the enemy had some good to offer you, he wouldn't trip on it. But he knows that the enemy's job is to kill, steal, and destroy, and to remove you out of his presence. See, when we're removed, when the presence of God is removed from us, it's hard to do what is right. It's hard to have a holy conviction. And that's why we can leave the presence of God this morning and go back to doing things that we know are not of God. Obey him alone. Tells us we can be obedient to the Lord and to the enemy. But it brings forth a divided heart. When the Bible scripture says that we should serve God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. He knows we're not a perfect people. And we can't change everything to be. We can say, God, I give you all my heart. Some are going to be saying that at the altar call. And he understands it's a process. But then there's some that know better, that have been around longer, and are doing things that are not of the Lord. Things that capture the presence of the Lord to allow one to struggle, to be confused, to be guessing what the Lord wants from your life. 1 Kings 18:21. Some of you are saying, Pastor, can you be a little bit nicer? I am. I'm trying to have you return to the Lord. I don't want to be known for a flashy speaker. Oh, Pastor, it was a beautiful message. I want you to walk away this day and say, man, that was a hard message. But it was truth. It was truth that I was hearing. Pastor was hitting it. I'm not in a popularity contest right now. I want to be right before the Lord. So I need to speak what he has given me to speak to you all. See, when we forget about the Lord, you can forget about his presence. And too many times we think we have his presence. It's just experience from being saved for a lot of years. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, another prophet. Elijah was seeing this taking place in the lives of the people. And Elijah says, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver? That means going back and forth. Going to do God's will, doing the world's will. God's will, the enemy's will. God's, how much longer will you waver? Hobbling between two opinions. The opinion, of the church, opinion of the world. The opinion of the church, the opinion of the world. How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent, as we are this morning. The Bible uses the word hobbling, H-O-B-B-L-I-N-G. How much longer will you waver hobbling between two opinions? The word hobbling, the definition for the word hobbling is to move along unsteadily or with difficulty, to cause to limp, to make lame, crippled. I shared Friday that when I get out of bed in the morning, I hobble. I like, hijuela. Yeah. I hobble. But I'm 55 years old. That's why I'm hobbling. Can I get an amen, Chava? Come on, say amen, Chava. Despertate. Chava's been hobbling lately. Pastor, me estoy poniendo viejo. Is it just the knees? No, mom, not just tall, it was everything, man. Ay, ay, ay. He has a driving job. He says, I can't do that hard labor stuff no more. There was a time he used to fly with me at the job sites. We didn't touch the ground. But 16 years have gone by. But when I was in the world, young and strong and healthy, and nothing wrong with not a part of my body, through heavy addiction, with a strong body, a young body, the enemy had me hobbling. All, and I got to think about Chava again. When he came to the rehab 16 years ago, and he jumped in the bunk bed. Y ahí se quedó por unos dos, tres días. Translated, and there he stayed for two or three days. The bottom of his feet for running with the devil were cooked off. He came in hobbling. 16 years later, he's still hobbling. There's no way around the hobbling. But there is a way around hobbling between two opinions. The enemy had me hobbling. He had me crippled. But man, I kept going, man. God would use the police to take the hobbling out of my physical body. Here the prophet Elijah says, how much longer are you going to waver? How much longer are you going to be playing church? Making promises to God, making promises to your pastor. How much longer are you going to waver between two opinions? As if the lost and the bound that are dying right now just got all the time in the world for you to get it right. Hobbling between two opinions will not only hinder you physically, but spiritually. In and out of the things of the world will not only cripple you physically, but it will cripple you mentally. Cripple you to a state that you can believe that God is not even with you no more. In the spiritual realm, hobbling. Remember, the definition was to move along unsteadily or with difficulty or to cause to limp or to make lame, cripple. That's in the physical. But in the spiritual realm, hobbling between two opinions, I put here, will not only hinder you physically, but spiritually. It'll get you thinking unsteadily. It'll get you thinking with difficulty. It'll get you thinking some lame thoughts. It'll get your thinking to become crippled. It'll allow your thinking to get to a place that everything is going so wrong and nothing is your fault, that it must be God's fault. God is no longer with me. First Samuel 7:4. Back to opening scriptures. We were at 2, we were at 3, now we're at 4. Back to Samuel the prophet, telling all of Israel what they had to stop doing to be able to return back to the Lord, to be able to once again be able to sense the presence of the Lord, to be able to sense the call of God upon their lives, to be able to hear God once again speak to their lives, not only on Sunday morning, but on Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday, God speaking every day, that the call does not come from the pastor on Sunday, but the call of God comes from God every day through His presence. God's presence speaks. Years had gone by living like this. How long have you been stuck? Hobbling between two opinions, hobbling from the church into the world, to the church into the world. So he goes on to say that verse 4, they listen. And I pray here this day, somebody is not only listening, but is going to apply the truth of the Lord to make their way back to the Lord, to be wholeheartedly giving their hearts once again to the Lord. That He may rescue you from your enemy, the enemy of self. That He may rescue you from yourself. Verse 4 says, so the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only God. See, here this morning, I believe there's some men and women and youth that got some stuff that belongs to the world that needs to be gotten rid of. Still going to places you have no reason to be at. Some of you got to get rid of her or him. Some of you got to get rid of some places. Some of you got to get rid of some things that you got in your house right now. Images. You broke up with him or her 10 years ago and her picture, his picture is still on your wall. Get rid of your images. Image is something that you can see, an image. Whether it's something right in front of you, like I'm right in front of you, you can see me. Some of you are not really looking at me. He's like, he ain't talking to me. You're doing this a lot. You're like, what you looking at? All paranoid in the house of God. En español, qué vergüenza. You ain't talking about me. I'm talking about you, bro. That's for you. That message is for you, bro. An image is something you can see, whether it's right in front of you, or an image can also be seen within your mind, up here. Images, as I'm before you, you can see me. But the enemy is greater than what you can see in the literal, that's literally before you. He knows how to put images in your thinking, in your mind, that allow you to hobble between two opinions of serving the Lord and the world at the same time. He puts images here all through the week, not just on Sunday morning. Images. And the two images that were brought here was the image of Baal and Ashtoreth. Amen? Baal was the image they worship, and he was the sun god. He was a male, little g god. Era un macho. Amen? So Baal was a sun god. They worshiped him. He was the sun god. How many know we need the sun? We need spring to come around. I got to take vitamin E3 all winter long. That replaces what the sun's supposed to do. And some of you have a way of replacing what Jesus is supposed to be doing. You're taking other meds to feel good, to feel right. Take the hobbling, the ache of the bones out. So here, Baal was an image that would worship him, that would bow down to him. He was a male little g god of the sun. Ashtoreth was the moon goddess, and she was a female. Amen? Stay with me. Tells me that the enemy has images not only for men, que cochino, but he's got images also for women. Baal was a male little g god, a sun god. Ashtoreth was a woman little g god. She was a little g god of the moon. Tells me that the enemy not only uses images in the night when the moon comes out, because how many know most crimes are done in the night, in the dark, because the enemy is an enemy of darkness, amen, and God is a God of light. So it says that Ashtoreth, the woman goddess, was the woman goddess of the moon of the night. And we know that the enemy gets a lot of work done in the night. And they would worship her. But we know that Baal means the little g god of the sun. So we know that the enemy attacks in the night, the moon god. But Baal being the sun god, times are getting so evil and corrupt that even during the day when the sun is up, people are being killed. Crimes are being committed. And Baal, the sun god, is at work and he's being worshiped. Last week, we learned in 1 Samuel 5, 1 through 4, that what the presence of the Lord is able to do when it's in the wrong hands. See, there's power in the presence of God. It's not something that, oh, it just makes you feel real good. It does all that too. But there's power in the when you got the presence of God also. When you can say, what's up? You got a problem with me? Spiritually. On your knees. The presence of God leads and guides and brings power to a man's life, to a woman's life, that allows them to be like, I can do this in spirit. Because how many know some of us were crazy back? Let's go do this, man. Let's go do this. Let's go do that lick. Jump head in first. Let's go do this. Married, got kids, on parole. Let's go do this. And But here we find out this is when the Ark of the Lord was captured. Amen? Because there's power in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says after the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battleground. I spoke a few weeks of that. See, that there was a battle. Where was the presence of God captured? On the battleground. You need to know that there's a battle taking place right now for the presence of God from your life. Just because you ain't walking around with black eyes and broken arms and all this stuff, shot and this, don't mean there ain't a spiritual battle taking place right now for the presence of God from your life. It says after the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battleground at Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon. He was a big-time little G god that they worshiped back then, amen? And placed it beside an idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon, it looked like a coincidence, they took Dagon and they put him in his place again. But the next morning, the same thing happened. Dagon had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord. Why? There's power in the presence of the Lord. But this time, tell your neighbor, this time, Dagon got broken off. Something I used to say when I was running the streets. This time, his head and hands, I'm going to paraphrase, had been broken off. Put the word been in there. And were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. So this is what the presence of God is able to do, the things that are not right. I explained a couple of weeks, that's why guys can come into the rehab. And all these little G gods of the world of addiction got to bow down to the presence of God. Got to bow down to prayer. Got to bow down to the word of the Lord. See, everybody should have a rehab going on in their house. Because these ain't the only guys that got problems. Every last one of you got problems. I got problems. So what I do what I learned to do 20 years ago in the rehab as directed. I still pray, I still read, and the enemy has to get broken off. God has kept me for 20 years in a frontline ministry, kicking up dirt. Because I know the presence of God packs power. Some of you are so afraid to do anything for the Lord now because it just might not work. But in the world, you were jumping in head first. First only at night under the goddess of Ashtaroth. And then it got so bad that you were under Baal. You were doing it during the day. So what? I don't care. Let's go do this. I'm going to die for this corner. This is who I am. My mama did it. My dad did it. And I'm going to do it. Let's do this. But now the lights are on. We're in our right minds. Y tenemos miedo para hacer la voluntad del Señor. But now the lights are on. It's day. We're dressed up, smelling good, looking good, and afraid to do God's will. There was a fear in all of Israel. Because they couldn't sense the presence of God, even though he had been with them for 20 years, the Bible records. It seemed to them that he had abandoned them. It's a good word, man. Good word. So we find out what takes place when we allow the presence of the Lord into our lives, when we worship God, other things get broken off. 1 Samuel 7:4. The Bible says, so all Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtaroth and worshiped only the Lord. How were they able to change it all around from one day to the next day. Well, the truth is that Dagon, the god, the one that got broken off, was actually the father of this little G god that they were dealing with, Baal. Dagon was the father of Baal. And if Dagon, the father, got broken off, his son was going to get broken off. And how many know that Satan, our enemy, got broken off 2,000 years ago through the cross, through the works of Jesus, through the precious blood that was shed for you and I? Satan was defeated so that you and I could worship God, be returned to God, worship God in the nighttime, worship God in the daytime, because God is able to do what Baal and Ashtaroth couldn't do together. God is able to do it once again. If he did it before, he can do it again. God is here this day. The presence of the Lord speaks. And though the presence of the Lord speaks, it may not always speak what you want to hear. But it'll get you back on track to getting back to the Lord. And there's sometimes we got to get rid of some things that we like doing. Some of you might say, you still love doing that. And God's saying, I don't care. Get rid of it if you want me to come and rescue you from the hands of the enemy. Today's Chavez Day. Chavez, you say, hey, Pastor, I love smoking crack. I love smoking crack. Chavo Rose, I say, cállate con eso, tu chavo. Hey, I'm just being honest. Man, I love smoking crack. And then we went from PG to rated XXX, what takes place when you smoke crack. And I said, I wasn't that child. And that, but I did stuff that he didn't do under crack and heroin. There's some things that you still love doing that are not of the Lord. Samuel would tell them to get rid of their foreign gods. There's some things that you're still doing that are foreign, that don't fit into the plan of God. Foreign things that you know they're weird, they're foreign, they're freaky, and you're still doing them. And you know they're wrong because you do it in secrecy. But God sees all. And he's calling you back this day. Not with lip worship, but circumpatitas, with putting feet to it. He's calling you back this day. We need to build this church. We need to build this church. Tell your neighbor, I got saved with a purpose to build this church. When I got saved, the presence of God came with it. When men and women give their lives at the altar, the presence of God comes with salvation. Remember, the presence of God represents power. I know God has spoken to me, because the presence of God speaks. Verse 6 says that they fasted to confess that they had sinned before the Lord. Verse 4 says they worship only the Lord. In other words, they no longer had divided hearts. They were now just worshiping and obeying the Lord alone. Their hearts were no longer divided, but had returned back to their proper place that belonged to God. Verse 2. You can make the right moves today. You can repent as all of Israel did. Don't mean that everything's going to go good. We're in a battlefield. Check it out. They all got right? They're all good. Everything's going good. And then verse 2 comes along. Verse 11. Then verse 11 comes around. Then men of Israel, where's the one before that? Seven. Siete. So they got it together. They repented. They said, oh, we sitting before the Lord. And boom, all of Israel got right with the Lord. They all back with the Lord. When the Philistines' ruler, the enemy, heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army in advance. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. They were back to the Lord. Just because we do the right things don't mean the enemy's going to stop attacking. And you better believe that when you do the right thing, the enemy coming. But he's a defeated fold. You got to know that he's defeated. But these people just got right. They just got up off the altar call. Amen? And they're telling Samuel, keep on praying, Samuel. They could see the army coming, advancing on them. Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines. They begged Samuel. Verse 9 says, so Samuel took a young lamb, offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack. Just when they got up off the altar call, some of you are going, today, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. I promise I'm not going to do it no more, no more. I promise this time I really, 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 really mean it. And you're 20, 30, 40 years old, and you sound like a five-year-old when they're lying to their parent that they didn't do it. You get off the altar, and somebody says, what are you looking at? You just got off the altar. You just received the Lord as Lord and Savior of your life. You just rededicated your life. They were all together in one place, in one accord. They had repented to the Lord, and here comes the enemy. See, the enemy can come through church people, never the pastor. Write that note down. If you don't have paper, somebody lend. I want everybody to write that one down. I want to see it. Come on, little Daniel. Never comes from the pastor. No matter, only sometimes. The Philistines arrived to attack, but the Lord spoke. Remember, the presence of the Lord speaks. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to the place below Bethkar, slaughtering them all along the way. So, all of a sudden, the odds had changed. They were right with God. They didn't lift a finger. It was the loud voice of God that came down with power that put the enemy into confusion. See, anytime you're outside of the presence of God, there will be confusion. You may not still be clean, sober, but in confusion. See, but when things are right, the one that's supposed to be getting confused is the enemy. And God spoke, the Bible says, and it put the enemy into a confusion. The Bible says the Israelites that were fearing the attack, all of a sudden they're chasing down these homies, man. Taking them out all along the way, the Bible says. I put here, it had brought a momentum, it brought a change to their life. They were back with the Lord. I put here, chasing down the enemy is knowing that God is with you. Who wants to go chase the devil right now? Charlie, I ain't chasing no devil. You go chase the devil, Pastor. I know better. I heard people say that, but you used to run with the devil. So if you can run with the devil, why can't you chase the devil? That's another Sunday, another Bible study, amen? No longer defeated mentally, but victorious physically, they were no longer hobbling back and forth from the things of Baal and Ashtaroth and things of God. They were now with God. They had returned to God. And a quick battle came, but along with that quick battle was a quick victory that came that was brought on by God. What is it this morning that you got to put an end to? Now knowing that the Lord is with you, I put here, His presence is everything. God's presence speaks as the worship team makes their way. What is it? There's some things that hinder the presence of God from allowing you and I to know that He is with us. We need to remove those obstacles that are of the world to allow God to be with us so strong that we know He's with us. Too many times, the victory ain't ours, not because God can't bring it. It's just because we're hobbling between two opinions, one of the world and one of the church. It'll never work. That'll never bring victory in your life, whatever the song is here this beautiful Sunday.